Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, that's what we do, ensuring we give you content that brings you from broadcast to baptism, drawing you closer to Jehovah and ensuring that you are finding space in Him this morning. We invite you to join us in this discussion as we study together. Share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear what's on your mind. +27 73 470 3520. Now, we've been looking this week in our conversation, Christianity and entertainment, and we're trying to make that practical. Now, today our focus, we're talking about the Christian celeb, right? The Christian celebrity. In a culture that often feels like it's pulling on different directions, like pulling in opposite directions of the gospel, many people of faith feel a tension between their calling and their career, especially in a world of lights and cameras and mainstream media. It's appealing. Is it possible to thrive in an industry known for its secular values without losing your soul? Or is it time for believers to own up and retreat, to just build their own alternatives? Today we are exploring the challenges of the industry and asking, can you really follow Jesus while working in the heart of secular entertainment? Is it possible? Is it not just another job? Let's have that answer to those questions with our guest here, Anesu Chukwugoza, who joins us now on the line. So good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning to you and everyone who's listening. Today's topic is one that I'm really excited for.
Right. Yeah, no, indeed. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We want to just appreciate you for being part of these conversations this week. So we are looking at this idea of a Christian celebrity, and we're trying to see if there is such a thing that can be called that, right? Is this an oxymoron, right? How do we handle fame without losing humility?
I love the term oxymoron.
Yeah.
You know, this is a phrase that suggests that these are two ideas that seem contradictory, but may reveal deeper truth, you know. So the Christian celebrity becomes automatically contradictory. And it's not necessarily to say that, you know, it becomes evil,
okay,
but it becomes very complicated. I just want to anchor my answer with scripture before I get too excited.
Okay.
The Bible tells us in the book of James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And when you explore the Bible, I mean, not having gone anywhere far, you start finding Christian celebrities in the Bible. You talk of Abraham. You come to my favorite, Solomon. You know, Solomon gets wisdom from God, and his wisdom and fame spread to all nations.
Yeah.
If you read the book of 1 Kings chapter 4, the Bible uses those words. You know, it spread to all nations. That's the wisdom and the fame. And
people would
all
come
the kings of
to see.
Yeah, not people, the kings of the earth.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at the time, if you were not somebody recognized in society, it may have been difficult for you to gain an audience with Solomon.
Yeah.
Right. And you get this thing that is good, that is perfect, wisdom that came from God,
mm-hmm,
and it's given to a human being. But a series of problems is immediately introduced. And to a great extent, I want to believe that the story of Solomon is one that was given to us to handle this specific question of being a celebrity. Maybe Satan, Lucifer's story was not enough for us to learn.
Mm.
But there's a verse that I love. I actually discovered this verse yesterday when I was, you know, doing my readings. And the verse says, "I am the Lord. That is my name.
Okay.
I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols." Now, the context of the verse is speaking of idol worship, obviously.
Okay.
But the truth here remains that God won't share his glory with any other person. So How then do we, handle this oxymoron? How do we deal with it? I personally think that this, person-centric type of celebrity that we worship and praise today is contrary to the idea of God. However, God can still give someone fame if that fame will bring glory to his name and will not invoke this spirit of pride within a person. And I think there's a lot that is expected from someone who is famous in terms of responsibility, that if I don't have that relationship with God, hey, I don't want anything to do with that type of fame.
Yeah, and I know we're talking in particular about the Christian entertainer, right, and the fame that they possess in that regard. But I think sometimes that line can actually easily creep over to just fame in the Christian circles, right, where you become the center of attraction and Christ is moved from the center, and that, how he calls us to lift him up and he will draw all men to himself. You find that now people are lifting the man up and they want to be like this papa, this man of God, this father of this spiritual father of the church, and you get them even in some circles, where the person speaks so well and you become a man in demand, that, if you want the people to come, invite Anesu. I'm telling you, he's a crowd puller. And we almost cease to say, no, let's talk about Christ. No, is Anesu coming? No, then I'm not coming to that event, and it's easy to fall into that kind of a space as well, where we have this Christian celeb who becomes somewhat subtly so, but standing in the space of Christ. What are some of those unique challenges, though, especially for a person of faith in a high-pressure, secular, creative environment? Do they face any issues, or is just a job?
Hey, man, you preached for a second there. I don't have an answer, but let me attempt to address the unique set of challenges that a Christian will face in that space.
Yeah.
So for those who may not know, I come from that space myself. I wouldn't label myself as having been an A-lister of any sorts, but I've been in spaces where I rubbed shoulders with whichever celebrity in South Africa you can think of, at least pre-2020.
Yeah.
I have been with them in one way or the other. I've worked with many, befriended even more. And I can promise you that the challenges that one face up there are not normal challenges. I think with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. With great influence comes a great expectation of, faithfulness to God. Now, the very first challenge that one would face in that space, especially in the secular culture, is this value conflict. You may be compromised to break moral boundaries for success. I'll tell you a quick story. How I entered the entertainment or the fashion and influencer space in about 2015 was that I had won a competition.
Okay.
And I mean, that was great. There's no sin in that. But the brand that hosted the competition had the receiving of the prize on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian convicted that the Sabbath is the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
On it, we shouldn't do anything of our pleasure. But man, I rationalized in my mind. I started negotiating on how this wasn't sinful. Yeah. Hey, I'm collecting this prize that comes from God anyway. And I'll come back home afterwards.
Yeah.
I get to the store, and guess what? There's no collection of prize alone. They've set up a DJ booth, and there's a popular DJ from 5FM at the time. And I mean, it's a party in the store. Champagne is flowing all over the place. Lights, camera, action, everything is on me. And I get there, I have interviews on radio, I've got pictures with people. There are celebrities at the event. And I just told myself, you know what? I've made it. Let's partake.
Yeah.
One may say, hey, I'm not weak like that. I wouldn't, dishonor God for temporary gain and pleasure. And I hear you. But the truth of the matter here is that at each and every step in the secular space, especially as a person of influence, you will be faced with temptations and challenges that the normal, regular citizen will not face. And I don't think celebrity, you know, is the problem here. I think self-glory is. That's another challenge that happens. God can give fame. God can give power. God can give influence, but not in the terms of the world.
Okay.
You see, fame from God will never demand you to disregard his Sabbath or any other of his commandments. It will never put you in a space where you find yourself in questionable positions. Another challenge that I faced was identity erosion. Oh man, that one was a big one.
Yeah.
Now you're this Seventh-day Adventist kid who's a model, who's an influencer, and everyone is smoking around you, drinking around you. Every other event happens on the Sabbath. And you know, this the same is true for those that are aspiring to be in athletics, to be in acting, and you name all these creative spaces. Now, I started losing myself because, you know, whatever I believed and was convicted upon was challenged. And from the Sabbath, I started breaking each and every commandment one by one. And you find yourself in a space where you're isolated. Now, everyone is celebrating you, but because you're losing a grip of your identity, you find yourself just isolated. You're the only believer in the room. It's spiritually draining. You start giving up one by one. Your friends start to think. Your friends start to think that you're higher than them, and they draw themselves away. And the more you try to come to them, some just feel intimidated to even be around you. Your family is expecting money, and you know, the things just get super complicated, and you can never really have genuine relationships anymore without expectations or without challenges. There's this performance culture as well. Lost a few friends notable within the industry, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, the performance culture was the only reason for their demise, but many have committed suicide, having achieved everything that you can think of as success, but still leaving unfulfilled. And, you know, the creative industry rewards visibility, self-promotion, controversy, you know. That's what keeps you on the news. That's what keeps you fresh and relevant. But how can a normal person, you know, have all these things every other day? Because life doesn't work that way. And when you do those things right, it quietly feeds your pride as well. And you end up walking as this, you know, do you know who I am type of person. I remember I wouldn't stand in lines at the airport because it wasn't possible. People would talk to me, want to take pictures. So I'd always just, you know, shift to priority boarding. I wouldn't shop at shops where there's a line. I wouldn't sign up with banks that are known notoriously for having lines. And you just feel too important for your own self. But I think let me leave it here for now. There are many, 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 many challenges that you will never see from the outside. But I can tell you each and every person of influence is facing even more when that fame is not from God.
And I think we also, as you were speaking there, I picked up that there is a challenge that we have, that whatever we receive from God, we feel we have to now work personally to retain it, right? And we cannot continue to keep it by his doing and by being obedient to him. You, like you said, you began by saying, hey, this is a gift I got from God, and this is a price I'm getting because of what he has rewarded me, his favor from him. But somehow now to keep it, you now have to, okay, let me now start doing this. Okay, let me now start breaking this. Okay, then let me now start fitting in this way, because that's what I need to, that's the cost of staying here, you know? And speaking of that, when you talk about storytellers, right? And I like how you brought it out already to say, it's not the just your standard topics and the standard stories that sell. It's the controversy. It's the challenges, it's the scandals. That's what trended. That's what, I mean, what do they say? There's no such a thing as bad publicity. You know, every publicity is good publicity. I wanted to ask to say, talking about a Christian creator, right, in terms of content creation, How do they balance the desire to share their faith, but also need to tell a commercially viable story? Because the world out there is looking for a certain headline. I mean, we talk about clickbaiting. That's what we have today. How do we balance the two, where we can authentically share Jesus in a space where we know we're going to be reaching thousands, if not millions, but also try not to make it commercial?
Yeah. Now, I think we are talking to somebody who's acknowledged that secular fame, secular creative spaces are a tricky space to challenge or to traverse. And from your question, I'm hearing that this person has said, you know what, let me rather share Jesus using this influence that I have.
Yeah.
Been there, I'm currently there, and I'm trying to navigate my way around it. It's not easy. I remember when I first shared my testimony after coming back on social media after about 5 years of being gone. You can find me on Instagram at Anex, A-N-E-Y-X underscore. You can just search my name, Anesi Chogugudza, the same on YouTube as well. I've come back and, you know, I felt a strong conviction to do something with the thousands of followers that I had. And I thought it would be a walk in the park, you know, shoot a video, post it, and everyone is converted after watching it. But I promise you, that's not how it went down.
Yeah.
Upon posting my story, a lot of people were, of course, shocked. A lot were interested, but even a lot more started just unfollowing me because I declared my faith in Jesus. Sure, fair enough. Many were following me for the fashion, for the influence, and the Jesus thing is not what they signed up for. So fair on their part. Maybe, you know, they unfollowed. But I can promise you that I posted another outfit that makes me look great. They would have liked it. They would have shared it. They would have asked, hey, where do I buy this suit? Right. So you find balancing faith and commercial storytelling. You find these two concepts at loggerheads, but I can give you one or two tips on how to navigate that space. The first truth is that you will lose following. You will lose engagement once you do boldly speak about Jesus or incorporate him in your life. But you also need to make it, you package it well. So one thing that I want to encourage is, you know, personal story. Everyone shares a similar struggle as we navigate this world of sin with Jesus on our side. And I think sharing stories of how God came through for you, of how God convicted you, of the difficult decisions you had to make, while people may not be keen to hear that, there's power in transparency, there's power in being relatable. Because I can promise you, you're not the only one that's facing those difficult challenges. And I also want to just, you know, put out this framework when you go about doing storytelling online. Remember that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord. And whatever you do, do it with all your might. And whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So with those guidelines, faith can be presented nicely, and you can really find creative ways to uplift the man of Calvary. And Jesus told stories, you know, the parables that were commercially engaging, and many of them are popular stories even today, yet spiritually transformative. So you can still apply that gift of filmmaking, that gift of storytelling, that gift of radio presenting as you are doing right now. I mean, you could have been at a commercial station with how talented you are, but you chose not to advertise gambling, alcohol, events that happen on the Sabbath, and you chose to work for God. So there is definitely space, and there are ways in which we can make the content commercially appetizing. And surrender the desire to be known by the whole world. It's God who gives fame. And when you look at celebrities and famous people, don't envy their lives. You have no idea what they're going through. Marriages are under attack. Some of their children are on drugs from their teens because they're never around. And those that look like they're managing their fame, you'd find after 20 years, 10 years of being married, they've divorced. A husband is now having an affair. It's just a space that was never designed by God. God doesn't share his glory with anyone.
And you know, as you mentioned that, you know, I like this last point you're raising, don't envy. Usually we like what people have, but we don't know the cost of having it, right? They say the grass is greener on the other side, but that then usually means that the water bill is high. That also usually means that there's a smell of manure because they're trying to fertilize this green grass. So sometimes the optics are good, but the cost might be high and you don't want to be found there. I want us to wrap up and our time is out, Ne'ane, maybe in about a minute or two. I want you to speak to two people. Number one, to the young believer who's hearing and they're drawn to that life. They've got the looks, they've got the this and the that that can sell in those creative spaces. What would be your advice to them this morning? But also I want you to speak to the church and what is their role to support and encourage particular people, be it maybe artists, musicians or creatives. What should be their role in enabling them to utilize the gift and the talent that God has given them, but still remain the salt and the light to the world?
I'll start with the second question. The church can never endorse open sin.
Okay.
Yes, Usain Bolt may be an SDA athlete, but the fact that he's running openly on the Sabbath, the fact that he's openly consuming alcohol on, you know, on social media platforms. I've been at a party with Usain Bolt, actually. I think it was the year 2017 or 18. I'm not sure the year, but we were together and he was actually the ambassador of a popular alcoholic brand. And you've got this person, he's perhaps a part of your church, you perhaps the leader. Do you ignore the person? Do you endorse his fame? I think personally, having been in that space, acknowledging him as someone of influence is the human thing to do. You know, happy to see you at church. We are praying for you. Please join us for lunch. You know, that's great. But being starstruck and putting a person who's living in open sin on a platform may do more harm than good. True. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in those spaces and I was on TV and on radio, the elders of the church and the pastor, in fact, would come to me back at my old church in Cape Town and say, hey, when you're out there, represent us well. But I'm going to horse racing events. I'm going to events where alcohol has been served. And I always ask myself, but
how do I do that?
What do these person mean and how do I do that? These people are actually endorsing my sinful life, which is open sin, by the way. And I'm not saying we should judge and condemn each other, but as leaders, the very reason why we are put in leadership is to guide the church and to obviously then, you know, sanitize and control what type of influence our young people are exposed to. So acknowledge them as a human, but never endorse someone who's living in open sin or rebellion.
Okay.
And I'd also want to, you know, say that the church should not stop praying for young people, for people of power and influence, because they face many, many, many problems. So the church shouldn't retreat entirely, but we are charged to be the light of the earth, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And I think salt and light has to enter darkness, you know, in order to actually make that difference. But that interference or that entering should never be done at the expense of God's commandments and should never be done to glorify self. So it's a tricky line to draw, but the church should really find ways to guide young people who are such talented to keep, you know, under the law of God. And to a young person who feels called to this life of light, camera and action, it's a tricky one to give, honestly. But I want to simplify it and say, if you dishonor God with your talent, once, you know, demands come for you to disregard the law of God, just run with your life and pray heavily about the talents that you have. By the way, Satan can give talent too.
Thank you so much.
And we should just really have discernment as to what comes from God and what doesn't. Take it from me. I've been there. Run.
Run with your life like Joseph. Well, thank you so much, Brother Anyasu. May God bless you. And thank you so much for your testimonies. And thank you for the encouragement you keep giving to those who are maybe drawn to that life and to those perhaps who are found in that life already. God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow.
Hey, thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who listened this morning.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.